Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is the Boob Show, episode 236. It's February 24th. It's 2020. Hey, everybody, we're back at it here on The Boop Show with Brian Dunaway and myself, Scott Johnson. Hello, and welcome to this episode of the show.
Oh, hi, Scott. I'm glad I could be part of this episode.
Yeah. What was that about? I've never said episode before.
Is that like a Bubba Hotep kind of, you know, Freudian slip? I don't know.
I think I'm tired is what's going on. I slept like garbage. Bad sleeper last night.
How do you sleep like garbage? I thought that would actually be pretty comfortable.
I mean, you'd think, right? Just piles of it, just cozy garbage. A lot of packing material, a couple old rags, sure.
Banana peels,
yeah.
Rotten, sleep like garbage.
Like garbage. anyway, hey, we're here. We're going to have a show together at last. Finally, this is happening. We're finally getting
at
a show
at last.
Done. Actually,
you know, I'm
true.
Proud. I'm proud of us, Scott. I'm proud of us.
We did the last 3 weeks straight. 4 weeks, I think.
We've done 3 weeks straight.
Three weeks straight.
We were doing every other week, but now we're back to our normal programming.
That's right.
Shenanigans.
And how does that feel to everybody listening? Good. We hope so. Now this. A little treat for people later on in the show.
Oh, treat. Like one of those snack size candy bars? Or what are we talking about here?
It's closer to, let's call it a content treat that they are currently unaware that we're going to try out today. We'll see if it sticks or if it's any good. Stick
How
around
many calories?
120 calories per bite.
Holy, per bite.
Yeah. And the whole thing's about, let's see, if we count the time it takes us to stream it, that much bandwidth, that much data on the spreadsheet. Like if we just account for all data involved with the transfer of this stuff, it's probably about 20 megabytes worth of data.
That's
so
a lot of data.
So how many bytes is that? And then how many
calories?
I don't
calories know. That's a lot of bytes, though. And is well, I don't want my serving sizes to be set up in bytes. That's
is that 20 billion bytes?
22 megabytes. So we're going from bytes to megabytes, right?
Yeah, because
so
a million.
Be two. What was it be? I don't know. Now I'm confused.
Well, hold on. A megabyte is 1,000 bytes.
It's 1024, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
So do that.
Okay, so 10. Can't do that math. It's easier if it's a round number. I can't do it. It's a lot.
I can't do it. It's too hard. I can't do it.
20 million bits. There you go. That's what we're looking at.
There you go. 20 million bits.
So for 20 million bits.
Thereabout.
You can listen to our dumb conversation. All right. Hey, we got games to talk about. I got one I want to talk about right away. Get it out of the way I'm going to only be embarrassed for a second because I shouldn't be playing this and neither should you, yet somehow I'm playing it. Okay? And I'm embarrassed a little bit by it. There's sound to it.
It's the Game of Shame. It's our new segment, The Game of Shame, where Scott plays. It sounded like some Genesis. I'm not sure.
Oh,
but,
I wish. That's not what this is. All right, so I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what it really, really is. Hold on. I'm trying to get the screen to do its proper thing. It's not. Okay, it doesn't matter.
I expect ratios of bits and bytes.
Of bits and bytes.
But,
there we go.
But this looks like fun.
Okay, so it's a farming game.
Is this a Facebook game?
No, it's not, but it may as well be. So I got suckered into playing Township, which is a thing. It's available on tablets and phones, but also on Mac and PC. And for all I know, it is on Facebook. I don't know. They don't do games on Facebook anymore, right? Isn't that done? That's a done deal.
I don't think that's a thing anymore. I don't know.
That was like early aughts, you know, pre cell phone, smartphone, app store stuff. And so I think they quit doing all that.
I guarantee you it's still there somewhere.
So I got
deep in the recesses.
I got suckered into this because I like their style. They have a very nice animated.
I like it. I think it looks cute. I'm trying to figure out why you feel embarrassed yet.
Because it's just a free to play nightmare. It's the kind of thing I don't want to play normally. Like, I don't know why I'm compelled by it. And I think I figured it out. I like farming, you know, I like to lay down the corn then go and get the corn going. I like doing that. Yeah. I like the little
scythe there. They got this little,
yeah, that's how you get your
chopping stuff up.
That's all you got to do is just run this scythe over your thing and harvest all your shit, which is pretty great. Then you got little houses you can build, townhomes, hotels, other kinds of buildings, lots of industrial stuff. This dude we're looking at here is an insane person. He's level 220 or something, and he's got so much stuff. He's got $1 billion in gold. I'm like,
oh my gosh, he does. It's almost $1 billion. Sure enough.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. Oh, I mean, I have no idea if he's hacking this or something. He claims that this is all legit. Here he is planting eggplants.
Oh my gosh, look how he's rolling that. That does like he's playing it with his finger.
This might be the tablet version.
Maybe it's a mouse.
This could be the tablet version. It could be the mouse. I'm not sure.
It could be.
But anyway, the point is it's a thing and you play it. And it's exactly what you think it is. It's got these little tickets so you can hurry stuff up if you want. If you're like, I gotta build a post office. Oh, it says it'll take an hour and a half. Do I want to speed that up for 5 tickets? Like that kind of garbage. It's full of those things. But as a game that you just sort of run and casually do a few things and then get out and then don't go back until your timers are up, it's all right.
Look at the love in this game. I am watching a scene right now. It is the Titanic. There was a director who came out of building number 8. And there's a Rose on there. She's on the end of the Titanic.
Yeah.
And he's actually directing them.
Yeah.
I mean, the attention to detail.
It's a little insane.
On this game is amazing.
It's a little nuts. Lots of little cool little animated tweaks and stuff. You start as like a tiny little farm, like a township, right? And then eventually you build out to be bigger and cooler and whatever. It's a very well made one of those, but it is straight up one of those, right? I'm not going to lie and tell you this is some, you know, secretly this is some amazing PC game.
Something different.
Because it isn't. It's what I just described to you is what it is, and it is what it is. And I'm not even telling people they should go play it. I'm just saying that's what I got honed in on for some reason.
Well,
it's weird.
It scored for me a couple of things. First of all, it's called Township instead of like farm something.
Farm Town.
You know, I hate when they put farm in the title of things. I'm like,
yeah.
It just doesn't work for me. But wow, that actually looks really kind of cool. The only thing that I would question, this kind of reminds me of Zoo Tycoon, the way it looks, the way it's shot,
similar vibe. Yeah. In fact, this same company, the same developer makes this, makes a game that's all zoo stuff. So
interesting. Yeah. So I like that. The only thing that would kill this game for me is any type of either required microtransactions or annoying microtransactions where they're constantly trying to sell you something. I don't mind the occasional, you know, pitch or being aware that there's microtransactions.
Right.
I just don't want to be reminded. I don't want the game to break because I'm being reminded that the only way that I'm going to advance really is to pay for something.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. The game is pretty good at letting you, if you want to just do this thing free to play, 100% you can. No question.
Interesting.
But you're going to wait a lot longer for shit to get done. That's just the way it works.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. That's okay because I've been playing the crap out of that Animal Crossing game.
Wait, which one? You didn't get the new one.
Yeah, man, I got it early. No, I didn't get the new one. So, bastard. You know, I told you I bought that 2DS.
That's right.
So
right.
I said, I never played. Here's a little admission. I never played any Animal Crossing games.
That makes me. I mean, how are we friends even? How are we even?
Not even one. I used to talk about it all the time, and I looked at the screenshots of the game, and I always went, Scott's lost his mind.
I don't know how we're friends.
That looks like the dumbest game I have ever seen, and what does animals even have to do with it? And so I was like, okay. And so I never played it, and then I saw all the hype around the New Horizons, the ones that's about to come out.
Yeah, because that's New Leaf that you got right there. We're going from a New Leaf to New Horizons. Yeah. That's right.
New Horizons. And the volume was so loud about this game that I had to tune in to Nintendo Direct's presentation of it. And I watched it and I was like, okay, now I kind of get it. And I ran out and I picked up the new Leaf and I can't stop.
Well, of course you stop because it's crack. You're going to owe Tom Nook till you're dead. You're going to owe him.
Oh my God,
bells.
Tom Nook is a freaking maniac.
He is a maniac. And you think he's bad here. You should have seen him in the GameCube DS days. That guy was a real prickosaurus. Oh, yeah.
Oh, he prickosaurus Rex. Hey, look, he's all like, oh, yeah, let's build a house. I'm like, all right, I can do that. So I do my little dance and everything. And then I show up the next day after he's built my house. And I'm like, thanks, man, for building me the house. And I thought all our transactions were done.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, I bought my house. It cost X number of dollars. No, after he got three, he said, okay, I did some calculations. And you owe me $30,000.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you mean 30? I owe you $30,000. Yeah, no.
You owe him
huge.
You
didn't tell me anything up front.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. But he's
And then when you pay it back? When do you pay it back, Scott? When you feel like it.
When you feel like it.
Told me.
That's right. When you feel like it. What he's saying to you is he's going to give you cement shoes and throw you in one of those rivers where you fish.
That's exactly what it felt like. I'm like, am I dealing with a long shark right now? Yeah,
he's the worst. He's the worst. But you're going to be in debt to you're going to be forever indebted to him when this new one comes out. I'm a huge fan of the series since, man, all the way back to, the N64 version got ported to a GameCube. And so the U.S., I think we only ever saw the GameCube version, but that GameCube version was the N64 version with some new textures and stuff. And it was great. I played the living crap out of that thing, and my daughters loved it, and we just got hooked on it in this house. And then the DS version was really, really good. 3DS version was great. The Wii version was great. Every console, every Nintendo console since N64 has gotten a version of Animal Crossing, and we're about to get the Switch one in like what 12 days or 10 days or whatever it is.
20 days. It comes out the day after my birthday. So guess what? I'm getting the day after my birthday. I'm heading down to the town. Yeah. I'm gonna grab myself that. Right now I'm enjoying catching feathers because today is a festival down in Palmwood.
Yeah, they like doing those.
Where Mayor Brian is collecting feathers to watch that weird thing dance.
Did you just name yourself Brian? You're just Brian in there?
Double N's.
Oh, okay.
Brian,
okay.
Double N.
That's better than just boring old Brian. I mean, not that you're boring.
Yeah, I didn't want to do that. Yeah. I was like, I can make it snazzy.
I could see that. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited for you because discovering that series is interesting because, I mean, look, I'm an old ass guy now. I shouldn't be, into Animal Crossing. I just shouldn't.
Yeah.
But here I am. It's the most anticipated thing of this year for me, except for maybe.
It's crazy.
Except maybe Cyberpunk and maybe Doom Eternal, but they come out the same day, and I'm going to probably get both. But the point is, like, I've got so much joy for that game, and I'm ready for it. I'm here for it. I need it. Let's go.
But the scariest thing to me was I saw some stuff about it, and then I saw the new cover, and it said, oh, the dreaded, and this is what kind of made me start thinking about this, the dreaded may include in-game purchases. And I was like, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. The things that I have enjoyed on New Leaf so far has been the fact that I've been isolated away from any economy outside the economy inside the game that is earned.
Yeah,
and
it
not
just
bought.
That's all it means. You can't buy. I mean, you can buy. You may be able to buy DLC or something for it, but there's no.
Right.
There's no like in game store.
They've actually since removed that warning from the material that I've seen. So I'm hoping against hope that they will not be tempted in any way.
They won't.
To corrupt the purity of Animal Crossing.
No, I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Now, there may be the only shenanigans I'm planning on is I think they're going to do some stuff with that iOS and Android game that they have out. Animal Crossing Dirt Monkey Cheese, whatever it's called.
Monkey Cheese. Right.
That thing will probably have some weird piece of furniture you can only get that way. And so they want you to take that and move it over. But to get that, you would have had to spend a bunch of time and or money in the mobile game. Like maybe they're going to play around with that. None of that matters to me at all. I just care about what's in this upcoming game. I have no concerns about that because they have never done that before. They have not mentioned a thing about that. This would be a complete goof on their part if they launched that game and it had some kind of store to spend cash. No way. There's
Please,
not today.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, they had the app And I downloaded it and took it a look for just a minute because I was like blown away. I'm like, oh, this looks beautiful. But there are tons of microtransactions. And I think that's where it should reside.
Yeah, keep it on phones. That's fine.
The app. Yeah. If you want to do that, that's fine.
There's a place for that in this world. Keep it there.
Yeah.
Keep
yeah.
it there. I agree. Brian, tell me about Gylt. Spelled G-Y-L-T for the Stadia.
Oh,
ask,
the game.
Yeah, ask your daughter or your daughter. Ask your doctor if Stadia is right for you.
So that's the question. By the end of this, by the end of my discussion about Gylt, you'll find out what I decided about Stadia. Because as of February the 20th, if you had signed up as a founder for the Google Stadia, which I did, you have expired and now would have to invest additional money to maintain what you have. It is $9.99 a month if you're a Stadia Pro subscriber. So did I do it? I don't know. Let's talk about Gylt first. Gylt, the only exclusive title that Stadia has. Tequila Works, by the way, did this game, and they are so good, and I had forgotten about some of the games they've done, and I've went out to the phone as well, and I picked up a new game they have on the App Store on iOS, and maybe on Android as well, and it is So Little Big Planet, but that's...
Oh, you know, yeah. I know what you're talking about. You know, they're a good developer. They got paid to do this for Stadia.
Yes. Absolutely.
Stadia only.
I would like to have seen this be in a different market, but to be honest with you, there's enough games that are kind of like this that I don't think it would really stood out. I think it was more beneficial that they did do this. By the way, you're watching me, so you'll definitely want to fast forward because there was a time when I was standing just looking around. Lots of my game capture I do is I capture it separately. While I'm doing my Twitch cast. So sometimes I'm talking to the chat room and you won't hear it here, but you will see me.
Sure. And so your character will just stand there picking its butt. Sure.
Right.
I get you.
Exactly. So this was Gylt, and you're playing as a young lady who is in school, and she is going about and putting up missing posters for her cousin, who looks to be a good bit younger than her, who has disappeared. And...
that's kind of dark. It's a little dark, isn't it? A missing child.
Oh, this game gets really dark. Okay, so the story is the best part of this game.
How come you had an unstable connection warning on your screen?
For just a second. I've had that a couple of times. Well, what happened was Zoe had came home during that time, and so the internet took a hit for just a second, and then it cleared up.
Because she fired up her hey, I got to watch Peppa Pig for the next 20 minutes.
Pretty much. Yeah, so for just a second, we had a dip for just a second. But after that, it stabilizes and is perfect. By the way, my Stadia experience will not be everybody's Stadia experience. Stadia is a very specific answer. It's a very specific answer to a very specific question.
Yeah, and which is, do you want to spend $10 a month for a console that you don't own?
Right.
Basically that.
Are you the type of person who is too cheap to buy big time hardware, but has great bandwidth and enjoys only casually gaming and enjoys purchasing games on a platform that may or may not exist very shortly. So it's a very specific market.
Yeah.
Very specific.
You did a good job there summing it up, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very specific market. Now, for me, it was great. I love my experience. I thought it was smooth. Everything was great, but I only played it in a very narrow way. I had the Stadia controller, and I had the Google Chromecast Ultra, which is what they sold with the Founders Pack, and I only really played it there. I didn't play it in the Chrome browser or anywhere outside of that very specific area. Mm. So, but that's what they suggested. That was a suggested play for them, and that's what I did, and it was spot on. Now, the promises they made. I seen, like people playing in browsers with their own controllers and that kind of stuff. It's not nearly as smooth.
Mm.
They've got a ways to go.
Mm.
They've got a way to go. Okay. So back to Gylt.
Yeah.
So really what it is the game is all about bullying, and all these metaphors in this game become real life, because what happens is as the girl, you enter into kind of an upside down world, pretty early on. And once you do, and you're in the upside down world now, you're in school, in the school building, even though no one is there, you're looking for your cousin because you saw her in the window. You start encountering these different creatures and beast. And those are metaphors for different things. So they're like, there's like eyes that are growing out of these vines, and they just watch. And at first I was like, oh no, what are those vines going to do? Are they going to attack me? No, they don't. They just watch, because they're like the watchers when someone is being bullied. Mm. And you can blind them and get them out of the way and complete your puzzle task, which this is basically what this is. It's all puzzle task oriented. Yeah. You know, you got to fix this place, fix that place, pick up some story, add a little more story to it.
Do you like, and, graphically it looks kind of neat from what I can
graphically
tell.
It is beautiful. I think Tequila Works has a great game here, and I think it ran really well on my Stadia experience. Mm. I loved it. I thought it was great. Was it enough for me to go, am I going to continue my pro membership?
Is this a game that is not free with the membership, is it? Or is it?
It was February's access. So, you know, none of these games are free. But if you are a subscriber in February, a pro subscriber in February, then you can claim the game and it will always be in your library, even if you cancel your account. You won't be able to play it again until you reactivate your account, but that game is always in your library as long as you're active and playing.
Okay.
So I did not re-up. I thought about it, but I was like, is the content compelling enough for guilt for me to pay for another $10 a month and possibly beyond to stay with Stadia? I'm like, not really. Mm. Now, I can still go back and play Stadia as long as I purchase the game, as will everybody. So free games.
So the free tier is working. Like, that's a thing now? Can I do the free tier now?
Well, I don't know if you could, but if you were a Stadia subscriber before, you could continue to go. So like if I got in the pro, and I think the only way you can purchase the service, and I could be wrong about this because I haven't dug deep, because it doesn't concern me. Right. I'm a pro Stadia user. Sure. What do I care what other people feel?
Right.
From my understanding, the game I actually purchased, which was Metro Exodus.
Yeah.
I purchased that game. I should still be able to play it for free at 1080p. So I can't play at the promised 4K, but I can play at the 1080p.
Okay.
For free.
All right. But that's because you're a founder person and you paid to be part of being a founder, and that's the only,
right.
Yeah. They get to continue that on basically. Right.
But that will be available to everyone in the upcoming months.
Okay.
You know, that type, everybody will be able to play Stadia for free, eventually. And if you purchase a game on the Stadia service, it will be yours to play for free. You will not get any of the perks of the pro, which is, it's like any other service. You know, you get access to so many games per month. Yeah. You claim it. If you claim it, then it's yours. It's kind of very much like the PlayStation Plus. You know, if you forget to claim it, then you don't get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have to claim it, which is fine because you can do it through the App Store. By the way, this monster guy who I was about to approach there.
Yeah.
He's one of these upside down face people. He's like a clown almost, and he's evil, but I can beat him with my flashlight.
Is it
so
scary?
I have a flashlight.
Is it scary?
Right. It is scary. There's a little bit of stealth elements in this game. There's stealth, there's puzzle solving, there's a little bit of action and fighting too, because I can take my flashlight and I can focus the beam onto these bubbles that are on these creatures. Is like, they're like boils, and if I shoot their boils, they die.
Oh, weird. Well, you want them to die. So,
well, you do. Well, I don't know if I want them to die or not, but I definitely want them out of the way.
You don't want them a part of your life anymore. You want
no,
to
because
them.
They're kind of evil. They'll chase you down and they'll start grabbing a hold of you. You're like, get off me.
Yeah, get rid of those things. Me. I'm with you. Stop. So someone in the chat room just informed us also that Bethesda has left GeForce Now as well now. Like Blizzard, they're not.
Yeah, Activision Blizzard left GeForce Now as well. As, you know, and this is kind of where people are kind of drawing the line, because I don't know. Everybody's trying to figure out where they need to be at in the market. And so.
Yeah, but what's Bethesda going to do? I know at that one E3 they got up and they said, hey, we've got some cool streaming tech that we're going to license to people. And no one gave a poo about it, and they haven't talked about it since. But maybe they've got something brewing there. I don't know.
I think that Stadia is not going to be a very strong direct-to-consumer service. I think the renting out of what they're doing of their service to other companies,
from what I'm
understanding so far, is going to be they're going to rent out the infrastructure.
Yeah, it's a white label service. They're going to let people you know, brand on top of it and have the back end just done for it. It's like licensing the Unreal Engine. You don't have to build your own engine. Yes. It's the same idea.
Yes.
Same concept.
Same idea.
Yeah.
Same
and maybe concept. They're all going to do that. And I have a feeling Blizzard is. And that's okay too, I guess. But here's what needs to happen. If Blizzard's making their own stream client and making it part of Battle.net, great. I can install or not. I can use it on a crappy right. machine and stream, and on a better machine I can install. Like that seems really great. But don't be charging me extra for that. Yeah, you charge me extra for that, we're going to have words, man. And same thing with freaking Bethesda. I don't think they can charge for it, because the whole point is to get people playing their games and spending time in their ecosystems. I'm happy to do that, but I ain't paying you $5 to $10 a month for it. No, sir, I'm not.
Right. With Blizzard, I could kind of see it, because I'm like, you know, most people who are doing Blizzard are usually World of Warcraft. They're really,
but they're already paying for that. They don't want to pay another.
Exactly. They're built into that ecosystem already, like you said. So I don't think they would be upset about, but Bethesda, I'm with you. Bethesda, what do they got that I pay for on the monthly? Nothing. And but they got to get the money.
No, Blizzard, here's the thing. Even Blizzard can't get away with it. They can do it as part of, you know, maybe one of it is you can stream World of Warcraft from anywhere because you're already paying for it, and that's just part of the service. Well, that would be true either way. You got to have a subscription to even play the thing, so whether you stream it or not, it doesn't matter.
What kind of giant golden turd do you think everybody would have if Blizzard said World of Warcraft is now going to be $17.99?
No one will do it. It will the entire market will take a big shit right in their face. They're not going to do it. There's no way.
How about $15.99? Just an extra dollar, Scott. No. Just $15.99. What would happen?
It's still going to be a freak out. I'm telling you right now, Blizzard needs to offer that. If that's a thing they're working on, we're making a lot of assumptions here, but if they are working on they offer that as part of Battle.net. It is a Battle.net feature, plain and simple, in the same way that when Battle.net was new and exciting and not, and I'm talking like back in like Diablo days, when that was a brand new idea of having an online service that connected you with other players or whatever, they couldn't charge you for that either, and rightly so. So I'm just saying, don't get any weird ideas over there, Activision or Blizzard or either one of you. You're going to have some meetings about this, and I'm telling you right now, don't make the mistake, because you're already on thin ice with a lot of players. Not only that, Bethesda, not a chance they charge. Could they do their own little thing? Yes, and I think that would benefit them. I think everybody should look into doing it themselves. Nobody wants to just rely on, you know, GeForce Now to do it. Maybe indie games line up by the thousands. Over on Steam, let's say, and let's say Valve partners with Now, and it's like, okay, well, this is going to be the main way people play tons and tons of indie content, because they're not going to be able to afford or run the infrastructure to do it, even if it's white labeled. So that's how I think you solve this problem across the board. The big developers and publishers, they do their own thing. Fine, no problem. Go for it. Do not charge me extra for it, though, you bastards. Don't do it.
Yeah, don't be charged. And they probably won't in the beginning. They won't be able to in the beginning.
Yeah.
Eventually they'll have to adjust, because you got to pay for that infrastructure. Infrastructure ain't free.
Yeah.
And servers are expensive to run.
Brian loves Steam.
I love Steam.
See, I have proof. You love Steam.
I love Steam.
All right.
It smells like dirty smoke.
All right. Well, speaking of dirty smoke, let me talk to you about
dirty smoke.
Nothing to do with dirty smoke. This is instead a discussion I would like to have about the 8-bit do SN30 Pro Plus Bluetooth gamepad controller.
All right, now, wait. I gotta get my computer pulled up, because I'm gonna order. I'm gonna make my decision.
Okay. Are you basing it on this? Oh, interesting. Okay.
I'm gonna base my decision on whether or not I order right now, while we're doing the show, whether or not I'm gonna order this controller. Because I've been on the fence, and I need a little push or pull.
Well, let me give you what I ended up getting was the black one, so I'll show this to the chat.
And you're going straight to Amazon. I'm trying to go straight to 8-bit do, because I don't know if they get the same percentage of the
profit. I have no idea. I don't know how that
but
stuff
even
works.
Even if it's $10 more on the direct, I will pay that before I give it to Amazon. I love Amazon.
No,
don't
I get you.
Wrong.
I get you. You want to help the little guys out. That's a great thing to do. Nothing wrong with that. So, all right. So if you've listened to the show for the last 3 weeks, you know that Brian and I have gone off on a couple of, let's call it controller fetish tangents. Okay. Both of us are really big fans of what people do uniquely in this space. We like to see new stuff. especially when it's really well-regarded, well-built stuff like this 8-Bit Do stuff has been great for years. They've been doing this for a long time, and their whole lineup is kind of rad. And this would be the third controller I've gotten from them over time. The first one was a Super Retro one that was like, it looked like an NES, but it had two built-in control sticks. They still have it on their store or on their site. And I also
that's the one that was the other one. I've been flipping back and forth between that one and the other one.
Yes, and that and me too. Because the new one, the one you're talking about, is more SNES. It's larger. In fact, it's basically this without the grips, handles. Without the handles.
Yeah, the grips.
Right. And as a result, you just have to. It's just a different kind of experience. Now, you're holding it like a traditional gamepad back in the day, where this feels a little more like a pro controller for Nintendo or a little more, Xbox and PlayStation, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to recommend it highly, but I've got some caveats I want to put out there. The build quality is amazing. It feels really good in your hands. Controls great. Everything's very responsive. No problem connecting it to my PC, both wired and, it's a USB-C, which is nice. It does both wired and Bluetooth. Connected to your PC, no issues, no problems. My Mac also, zero issues, worked great with Apple Arcade and a bunch of other games I was playing. And with the Switch, no problems. The only downside is, if this is even a downside, it's probably not, especially if you're a Nintendo fan. But this is a very Nintendo-centric product, much like most of their products. Almost all of their stuff, with the exception of the Genesis controller and a few others, they are very Nintendo-centric. And by that, I mean even the button layout. So if you're used to the Nintendo way, which is B at the bottom, A on the far right, top is X, and far left is Y, again, just as old as time. This is all the way back to, when the NES was just two buttons, that's where B and A were. And then when the SNES came along, that's where they put X and Y, and those are just the order you have it in. If that's what you use, if you're using a Switch already, and that's what this is for, gonna be perfect for that because they adhere to that standard. They love it. For whatever reason, 8-Bit Do is all about the Nintendo button layout. They are not about the Xbox layout, which is, flipped around. You got A at the very bottom. You have B up to the where the normal A is. Your X and Y are swapped. Like, everything's kind of swapped. And one could argue...
I have so much trouble. I have so much trouble doing that. Back and forth.
Oh, I know. Going back and forth is a huge pain. Oh, huge pain going back and forth, right? Oh, it sucks. So because your brain's like, oh, wait, okay, right, that's back here, but over there, that's go. Like, it can really throw you. And smart games know how to remap, but it's still your brain and muscle memory are, it's fiddly, and I don't like it. I actually would argue that either of these is fine. It's just that they differ so much from each other. And Nintendo, they planted their flag and said, this is just how it is. And Microsoft and Sony and everybody else are like, well, really? Because this is how we're going to do it.
Let me show you something.
And in the case of, Sony, they're weirder yet because they've got symbols instead of letters, but at least they correspond roughly, like
to
back.
To the same location.
Yes, muscle to the same wise. Location. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so there's times where I wish Nintendo would just cave. And then there are other times I'm like, well, why should they cave? How come these other guys get to just change it?
They were first. I mean, let's face it, as far as the controller goes, if you follow the controller heritage to the, back to the beginning there, they were first, right? Because I had a Nintendo controller like this before I ever had Xbox or a PlayStation.
Because
right?
those things didn't exist back then. Exactly.
Yeah.
There was no Xbox or PlayStation when you bought a SNES. Right. They didn't exist. So the point is, what is the point? The point is, that's a thing, and you just need to be aware of it, okay? It is very Nintendo-centric the way they've done their button layouts. Everything else, pretty normal, simple. The two different shoulder pads, you got the two bumpers, and then you got the two analog stuff in the back, or the triggers, rather. The two analog sticks are great. They feel wonderful, no problem. They're a little more Sony in terms of layout. They're just next to each other down there at the bottom, like a PlayStation. The D-pad, super responsive, great D-pad for especially 2D stuff, just really plays great.
Great D-pad.
And again, the buttons just sort of correspond with whatever you might need, whatever device you're using it on. Now, that would be my only real caveat. My other one is a specific one to me that I'm just annoyed about, and it's okay, I'll get over it, and maybe they'll patch it, or I don't know. But for some reason, I can use a... Well, so it adheres to whatever the standard the Pro Controller uses, the Sony Pro Controller, which I have.
You mean the Switch?
Nintendo, yeah, the Nintendo Pro Controller, which is this right here. I just happen to have it handy. I have one of these as well. And it basically behaves like this and also syncs like this. And when you do it on a computer, both your PC and Mac both recognize it, and your Android device, and recognize it as a Pro Controller. It doesn't even know to call it an 8-bit do or any of that.
No,
it just thinks it's one of these. Now, that's fine, except currently iOS does not support whatever standard that is. Unless you USB connect it. So you could go USB-C in the case of an iPad, USB-C to USB-C or USB-C to Lightning, and it works, but that's dumb. I don't want that. I want wireless.
Yeah.
And so I was super stoked and bought the little handle thing because I was thinking, hey, I'm going to use this for Apple Arcade as well. So I get the little phone thing that like clips up on top. You stick your phone in there. Now you got yourself a little portable phone device with a built-in controller. Doesn't work. So if you're an iOS guy, the Pro Control, whatever it is about Pro Controllers, they don't like them and they don't use them. Everything else, no problem. It sees Sony controllers, no problem, and uses them. It sees a 360 or a Xbox One controller, no issues. But it just cannot deal with this.
I can say that is disappointing because I was looking for a Switch controller that I could use as well as for my SNES Mini. And I was hoping I could get back into my iPad iOS Arcade.
Right, same.
And that was kind of where I was leaning towards because of that.
Now, I'll tell you this. My PS4 controller works great in iOS. It's amazing.
Right.
And so what I need for that is some kind of underclip that'll hold my phone. I would love that.
Right, right. I love my underclip. I have a underclip controller that basically... works off an app that allows you to map gestures and touches as though you were touching with your hand. But that's cool. A lot of remapping. It's very cool and it's very good for very specific uses. Like if you have one game, but jump between games.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it was terrible. It was a nightmare trying to program it every time I wanted to play a new game. Ooh.
Well, that's why I was really looking forward to just because the way Apple Arcade works is great. It just those developers have every one of the games in Apple Arcade. They say they play on touchscreens. They play with keyboard and mouse because you can play them on Macs, and they play with a controller. That's like the rules of if you want to put a game on that service. And I like that because it means I can kind of choose and pick and choose depending on what game I'm playing. And some games play really great with controllers, like Butter Royale, which I wasn't going to talk about today, but I'll just mention it. It's an amazing battle royale game with food fighting, basically. It's great. It's really fun. Anyway, and it plays great with my PS4 controller. I just need some kind of undercarriage to hold my phone. I just need, because it's weird otherwise. Sure, you can put an iPad Pro up 5 feet away and play that way if you want, but where are you doing that? Like, let me carry that around with my phone. Anyway, bottom line is this awesome controller, and I am going to say it's very awesome, has those two things that are potentially issues, and that is the mapping of the buttons and that. Now, it is programmable on PC, so you can tell it whatever you want, and those buttons will correspond to what you want them to be. So if you really want it so that A is B and B is A, you can do it.
Right.
You have the power, but it's just not a standard thing with it. Very comfortable to hold. Highly recommend you use it for all these case tests that I've mentioned. It's $48 on Amazon. I don't know what the difference is on the site. If it's the same, then
they're sending me back to Amazon to order. So I guess their website is just a front end. So
maybe they just sell through Amazon. That would make sense.
So maybe
a lot
maybe
of places
so.
Do that.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel a little bit better now that they've chosen a path and I can't deviate from it, and I'll give them the money the way they want it.
Right.
Perfect.
Now, because I'm a goon and I'm weird.
You are a goon.
One of our listeners wrote in or grabbed me on Twitter and said, hey, I know you like controllers. Right. How do you feel about a controller that has a really great build quality, is very grippy, feels good, sounds good, is good for less than $20? And I went.
And I'm like, I can't believe that.
This doesn't sound real. It doesn't sound real. So he recommended something I'm actually going to try. And I ordered it. This is going to be for my PC primarily. It's called the Easy SMX Wired Game Controller Joystick for Windows, Android, PS3, and TV Box.
So that's too much to type.
It's a lot.
It was the easy what?
Easy SMX. And I got the wired one. They have wireless. I don't want one. I want the wired because that's what I do with my PC. I prefer wired anyway. I'm just close enough. It doesn't matter.
Ooh, I do like the, it's kind of, some of it's basic, but some of it's kind of cool.
It looks basically like, the one I'm getting is like a camo looking one, and it's basically a 360, or it's basically an Xbox One controller. But the word is that you would be afraid of getting it and having kind of a Mad Cats experience where it's just kind of janky and plasticky and awful. And this dude on Twitter is like, no, that's the great thing. And the reviews seem to reflect that. There's tons of reviews on here. They're all just like raving about this thing and how cheap it is, but how good it is. So I'm going to review it, try it, see if I like it. That'll be a nice cheap alternative to recommend to people if they're looking for just a good multi-purpose Xbox One style controller for their PC. So,
well, you know, I don't think they're quite there for what I want for 8-bit do, for what I specifically wanted, even though I'm very excited about the color schemes of those controllers on the 8-bit do controllers. They have the standard black, and then they have the NES colors, and then they got the Super Famicom. And I got to tell you, the Super Famicom colors look really good on these things. I'm kind of tempted to do that, but even though it doesn't really match my aesthetic, but I may just go with one of these yellow ultra portables.
Oh, I know. I want one of those too. Gosh,
to match up. I may just, for now, until I can make that decision on the other, I'm not 100% convinced yet, even though it sounds like they could possibly be heading that way eventually.
Yeah.
I don't think it fits the bill of what I want cross-platform wise.
Yeah, it's that's the biggest hang-up is the cross-platform. I can deal with the buttons. That's not
all
a
right,
problem.
Chat room, you tell me. How about this?
Okay. What do you got there?
We'll throw the chat room into this. I have this blue and blue.
Hey, mine didn't come with that switch. Little stand, by the way.
Oh, yeah, it didn't. I had to order that separately.
Oh, I thought that came with it, and I lost it or something. All right.
I'm sorry. That's fine. No, that's actually a docking station.
Okay.
I've got a blue switch, but with the yellow controller grip, and I'm looking at the 8-bit do's, and they have blue or yellow. What do you think? I need yellow?
You need yellow. Because that adds more yellow. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
That's what I would say.
Doing it.
I also have that combo, but the opposite. I have a yellow switch light.
He's like, you're like the bizarro world of,
I can't believe how much you and I are into accessories at the moment.
Dude, I love accessories.
Like my wife when she goes to Sephora in the mall. It's like, I just want to see trinkety bullcrap. And
well, I mean, okay, this is how it is.
Yeah.
There is such a glut of digital entertainment at this point that I can't really glom onto anything for too long. And so I've become a more tactile person when I am collecting, I guess, or when I'm like looking for that next thrill as a consumer. Is like it doesn't really thrill me as much to consume a lot of digital content because this happens all the time. But going and getting some physical, it's like, oh yeah, it's physical. I'm gonna see it. I'm gonna touch it.
Sure.
And it's one of the reasons why I still love GameStop, even though I know that people give GameStop hard time all the time. My local GameStop is awesome. I love going in there and touching the products and the people. Just the products mostly. And
do they know you by name? They're like, Mr. Dunaway.
Absolutely.
Welcome back. Okay.
Brian, what's up? I love going in there and actually touching things and purchasing items. Sometimes they'll even get things in they'll get things that are exchanged in sometimes. And I'm like, I didn't even know this product existed.
Sure.
What is this?
Yeah. No, if you can have that kind of relationship with your local one, that's pretty cool.
I always try to tell people it's all about relativity, and relative to my experience with GameStop locally is fantastic for me. I can't say how your experience is.
I'm just shocked that they're still in business given the market conditions. Nothing to do with them in particular. In fact, it's impressive they've been able to stick it out. But I agree.
And of course, we've seen in the news lately, especially on Polygon, about the interviews with the employees and the added pressure that they're receiving now to try to increase sales during a down market. I'm like, you can't increase sales in a down market, no matter how hard you try. As a matter of fact, the harder you try to squeeze, the less you're going to sell because people are going to say, like, nah, thanks, I'm out.
Yeah. There's some economic stuff going on there. Brian, tell me about my friend Pedro, which, by the way, I guess my...
What? Why tell you about my friend Pedro? But you should know him. He's your friend Pedro.
He is, and he's a banana, right? Isn't that the deal?
He is a banana, but you don't play as the banana.
No.
I played this on the Xbox Game Pass. It was free. It entered the store a couple of months ago, and I've been staring at it, and I keep looking at it, and I'm like, it looks like a lot of fun. And the actual game itself looks nothing like the marketing stuff I was seeing. By the way, this is me playing, so get ready for some bad playing.
Yeah.
So this is a shoot 'em up, and at some points it turns into a dual stick shooter, and it is all about style. This makes me feel like if John Wick had a shoot 'em up, side scrolling shoot 'em up platformer, this would be the thing to have.
Well, he does. Guy, he does have a turn based whatchamahoochie.
A turn-based whatchamahoochie, yeah.
What do you call that? A turn-based strategy, or what's that called? Turn-based tactical action game. John Wick Hex or whatever it's called. That's a
yes,
thing.
Yes, there is that thing. Yeah. I think this would be better, though.
Okay. All right, tell me more. Tell me more.
I do like the other thing. Okay, so lots of times in the game, you can hit slow-mo, and it's very important to hit slow-mo because there's so many complex maneuvers that you have to have. You're fighting all of these tracksuit-wearing old gangster guys that are trying to stop you from getting to the boss man. He is the butcher, Mitch the Butcher. And for some reason, you have it out for him because you're listening to a banana.
You're dying a lot here in this thing.
Oh, I die so much, but it's fun. It's fun. It's not a lot of penalty for dying.
Yeah.
Other than you have to restart the area over.
Yeah, it's
again.
kind of Super Meat Boy style quick starts after you die, right? Like you just get right back into it.
It's pretty fast. You get back in there and you get to rethink it a little bit because there's some strategy involved with getting past certain areas because there's guys shooting at you from different angles and you have to be able to figure it out. So your guy is able to shoot in two different directions at the same time. So you can aim first at the first guy that you want to shoot, hold the left trigger or hold the left bumper and then aim with the other, and you can get these really funky shots that are just visually pleasing and just pleasing to play. This is one of the most satisfactory times I've had with a shooter in a very long time.
Yeah.
And you can slow down time so you can get those really fancy shot ins. And there's also the spin move where you can do, which I totally kept forgetting. And you'll watch me die here over and over again because I'm forgetting to do my spin move. Apparently, if you spin, you don't get hit. Yeah. There's a little bit of game logic going on here that you won't find anywhere else. First of all, you're listening to a banana, right?
Yeah.
The banana's telling you what to do.
Right.
And he's giving you tips too.
Like he does. Sure.
Like he does.
Yeah.
So you do this, you kind of go through the stages and levels, all looks very platformy. And then the boss fight, which only got to the first boss fight, I got to Mitch the Butcher. It turns into kind of like, I was trying to remember the game. Oh, what is the game? It's almost like a Road Rash kind of game, except you don't really punch anybody, you're shooting them. So it turns into this bike race. You're on a motorcycle,
okay,
and you're running from other guys on motorcycles, and then Mitch the Butcher, who is in a weenie mobile, right? He's riding around in a van with a big old giant weenie on top of it.
Of course. Of course he is.
As you do.
Yeah, like you do.
As you do.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not doing that, what are you even doing?
What are you even doing? So this game was nothing like I thought it was going to be. From all the little marketing materials that I kept seeing and all the little descriptions, nothing like I thought I was going to see. But once I actually started playing it, I had a lot of fun.
Okay.
I had a lot of fun.
All right. Game Pass currently, looks like.
Game Pass currently. Other places, too. I believe it's on, it's not like an exclusive or anything. I believe it's on just about every platform.
Yeah, it's on Steam for sure. And right. I have it on PC Game Pass, looks like. So there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Do we still have any idea how long something stays on Game Pass? I assume it's not forever.
There's no set standard, but from most of the games I've seen, it's anywhere between 3 to 6 months usually. I've seen a rotation out about every 6 months. Usually I'll see some of the games head out, but there's some that's been there for since day one.
I'm watching you roll around like crazy.
It is so funny because, and it's even worse because it's in slow motion, and so you have to adjust between real time and slow time. It's one of those games where once you get good at it, you are going to be amazing.
Yeah.
You are going to be able to speed run this thing. And that's part of the charm of this game. If you can speed run this game, you're going to have the most amount of fun.
That's fantastic.
But learning how to go back and forth between real time, slow-mo time, making sure that you're dodging with these spin moves while at the same time rolling in areas you need to roll under and also aiming at multiple targets at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot to just jump. Let's put it this way. It's easy to jump in and have fun. It's much more difficult to master.
Sure.
But once you master it, I think it's going to be it's an amazing experience.
That makes sense. One final quick mention here as we finish our discussion about my friend Pedro.
My friend Pedro!
I have been playing pretty nonstop the game Undermine.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been playing it on multiple platforms because it supports cloud saves on Steam, and it's been easy just to sort of jump around. But, man, that thing is shaping up to be one of my favorite roguelikes I've ever played, and I was worried about it at first because I've talked about it on the show before, but I thought it would end up being just a little too much like the rest of them, like a little too much Rogue Legacy, not a lot of change. I was wrong about that. It's got lots of stuff to say that makes it very unique and very different. So if you're even on the fence about it, I can tell you that their updates have been frequent and amazing, and they're adding new kinds of stuff all the time. I think they're really close to calling it 1.0, and it's great. I'm loving Undermine. It's very, very good.
I keep seeing it. It keeps popping up when I'm like on Steam. I'll go, hey, we saw the other games you're playing. Maybe you'll like this game.
Yeah, there's something here.
And
it's
keep
good.
Thinking about it.
It's there's something special going on. And I think the dev team is super like out in front of this thing all the time, which is good. All right.
My controller will be here.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I ended up going with the 8-bit Do Light.
The little 8-bit Do Light, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I picked the yellow as suggested. It will be here most likely Wednesday.
Well, good. We'll do a little mini review when you get it.
Yeah.
That sounds all right to me. Now this.
It's a me, Mario!
Time to guess our game. Little game we play where Brian and I play audio from a video game of yore, some older game usually. Not always. Sometimes it's newer. It doesn't matter. We just try to guess what it is. And today is no different. I'm going to play my clip. Brian, are you ready to try to guess my game?
Scott, I am ready. Roll that beautiful bean.
Here comes the tape.
It's a seaside game. Possibly 7-Up spot.
Nope.
No, there's I'm hearing a bit of chickens. A lot of atmosphere.
There's a lot going on. There's dogs.
It sounds like a console game, at least late 80s.
I will give you...
Late 90s. Excuse me, late
90s. Okay, late 90s would be 100% correct.
Right.
But it is not a console game.
It's not a console game.
PC game. One of my favorite... In a series of games that I think are one of my favorite series ever.
Is this Tales from Monkey Island?
Nope.
Sounds almost like Zoo Tycoon or something, but it's...
Well, you're closer in the genre department.
So it's a tycoon game.
Kinda. I wouldn't call it tycoon, but...
Not tycoon? Now it sounds like Roller Coaster Tycoon.
I'll give you another hint. It's set in the... What, 1400s?
Oh my gosh, why can't I think of it? Stronghold?
Nope. But you're in the right vein in terms of 90s era stuff. I will now reveal the game. Are you ready?
Reveal.
The game is Emperor : Rise of the Middle Kingdom.
Rise of the Middle Kingdom. Did I play that one?
It's such a good game. It's the same people that made Caesar, Caesar 3, Zeus and Poseidon, Pharaoh and Cleopatra. Like all of those historical city builders, which were done by Impressions Games. That's the company who did it. They're no longer, and they don't exist anymore. But man, I think Sierra published these. It's such an amazing bunch of games. I love them so much. And right now, if you have the good old games version of the game, I actually probably have any version of this game, there is a 4K hack available that lets you play it in whatever resolution you want and doesn't limit it to its old, 4x3 crappy. I think the maximum resolution used to be 1024x768. I think was the limit.
By the way, I don't know how it looks.
It's so good. It still actually, I think it, when you up the res, it looks actually pretty good considering how old it is. 99 it came out. These guys, I actually have more info and I forgot to read it. Where did it go? That's just fantastic, Scott. You really nailed it this week with
nailed it.
Additional information. Oh, I know why, because I didn't want you to see it, so I stuck it on a different place. Okay, come on, buddy. Why aren't you running? Here we go. So this game is called Emperor Rise of the Middle Kingdom. It is the sixth in the city building series. Breakaway Games was contracted for Emperor after having previously worked on Queen of the Nile, which was the expansion to Pharaoh. It's the last in the series to use the same 2D sprite engine as seen in earlier titles and the first to introduce a multiplayer option. Not unlike earlier games, Emperor focuses on the building and development of a city in ancient times. This is ancient China from the, I'm sorry, this is even older, from the Zia Dynasty, which was 2033 BC. It's very old.
I miss games that look like this.
Yep, and it goes up through 1234 AD. I love it. I can't get enough of it. I want to play right now, just talking about it.
Look at that trash grass. Look at it.
Grass is such shit. Just shitty grass. And there's, you know, all the stuff you like about, you know, you can just sandbox it and just go on forever and just build a giant bustling city. And man, I love it. Anyway, get the resolution hack and you'll even like it more. Yes.
When you mentioned the developers and stuff, I forgot to mention Dead Toast Entertainment was the developer on my friend Pedro.
Dead Toast?
Dead Toast Entertainment. By the way, my friend Pedro enjoys a 10 out of 10 on Steam.
Ooh.
If that tells you is how people feel about it.
Is that good, I guess? I guess it is.
Right, 10 out of 10. I don't think it can get much higher, right?
No. Is it an overwhelmingly positive review? Is that what
they've
got there?
That's what I'm looking at now. Is this? It'd have to be overwhelmingly positive. Recent reviews and long-term reviews also overwhelmingly possible. Positive or possible, came out on June the 20th, 2019.
Wow. All right. Very nice. Brian, I'm now playing your clip. Let's see if I can figure it out.
You play my clip, and if you'll either guess it right away or you will struggle and go, I know what this game is.
I have no idea, so I'm going to play it. Here we go.
Chat room is nailing it. They knew it right away.
I have no idea, but I love this music. Oh, it's Peggle.
It's Peggle.
Now I hear this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when you win, and it's like all the fireworks going off and slow motion and stuff. Dude, Peggle music. I forgot how cool the Peggle music is.
Oh, it is so good. And did you ever play Peggle as the little add-in game onto World of Warcraft?
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah. That was my favorite.
It's like, oh, while you're waiting on this, why don't you play some Peggle?
Listen to this. Let's get some music going. Hold on. Skip it. Oh, yeah.
It sounds so good. When I was capturing that audio, I had my headphones on, and all that stuff is in stereo. So as the balls are bouncing around, they're bouncing around in your head, going boom, 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 boom.
Oh, that's great.
So good.
Peggle's great, and is the last great thing PopCap made before EA bought them, and then everything went to poop.
And then it was all downhill after that.
Kind of my impression of how things went. Actually, no, Peggle, or I'm sorry. The first Plants vs. Zombies was still while they were on their own, and that was a good game. Right. And then it was the only tower defense style game I've ever liked, ever.
Right.
And then they bought them, and then poo ensued. Poo. Nothing but
poo. Poo ensued.
It's really too bad, because that was a hell of a thing. All right.
It was.
Back to reality here. Where are we now? Oh, hey, I got a little fun thing for you. Ready for this?
Tell me fun things.
Listen to this right here. Hold on. Here it is.
Great game.
The game is over.
Stupid name.
Great game, stupid name. Yeah, that's right. We're going to start doing these here and there. I don't know if it'll be every week or not, but I found one that has a very stupid name, but as it turns out, is a very cool game. And the game I'm going to talk to you about, Brian, is a game called Tactics Ogre. Let us cling together. Yes, that's
perfect.
Right.
That is a stupid name.
It's so stupid.
It wouldn't have to be much better for it to improve upon that name.
It's the stupidest name. Tactics Ogre. Let us cling together. I keep wanting to say let's. Let us cling together.
Let us. No contraction.
It's real dumb, but it's all right. It's a Japanese tactical role-playing game created by Quest. The game was released in 1995 on the Super Famicom in Japan and a sequel to Org Battle, The March for the Black Queen, which is not Org, Ogre Battle. Let us cling together.
Also a questionable title.
It's not as bad, but it's still pretty bad.
Right.
Anyway, it's the second in the entry released by the Ogre Battle franchise, featuring many dramatically different gameplay elements from its professor would be really cool too. Anyway, it's a very turn-based sort of thing you might expect from Final Fantasy Tactics. Do you ever play that?
Right. Yes.
It's like that. Square even published this, so similar lineage and stuff. The game was re-released on the Sega Saturn in 96.
I'm a little annoyed that the characters keep on walking even though they're in one square. I'm a little annoyed.
They're all animated and moving around.
It's like, hold still. Yeah. Hold still, buddy. You're not moving yet.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. It was on the Saturn the next year, PlayStation the year after that. And then a remake of the game was developed by the original developer team, was released on PlayStation Portable in 2011, so PSP. In some regions, notably Japan, the port was retitled Tactics Ogre Wheel of Fate. Much better. Yep. Let's not cling together. Let's have Wheels of Fate. That's what I say.
Right. This sounds like a pure SEO type of decision. What should we put first?
Yep.
We need the most important part of the game. Tactics.
Yeah. It was a good game, but it was a terrible name.
It's a good game. Terrible name. Terrible like you name. Said.
Yeah, that's the new Great. Thing. That's the thing. That's our new segment. Oh, look at this. We didn't lose this, though.
Snap.
We got an email. These come to us at boopshow@gmail.com. We got one from Aaron Evans, who says, hello, Scott and Brian. What are some games that haven't aged well? He says, well, graphically, pretty much any game from the PS1 era. That was such an interesting and experimental time for ugly 3D, where everything turned out looking pretty goofy. I'm a huge Final Fantasy fan, but those PS1 titles are ugly. On a side note, are there any you expected, or are any of you excited to play the Final Fantasy VII remake in April of the show, and that you went back to the weekly format? McSteebler. He says we can say his name on the show. McSteebler.
McSteebler.
His real name is Aaron. So, yeah, there's lots of these. For me, you know what? We'll go to a similar time. I don't think the original Metal Gear Solid for the PlayStation 1 holds up, even though at the time it was one of the greatest games I'd ever played. I think that game is hard to play now. Everything.
The thing that stood out about that game was the gameplay, right? The stealth gameplay was just...
Yeah.
It was brand new. So the things that... This is a really good question because we kind of do this every week with Film Sack with movies. We go, oh, that movie didn't hold up, and we put a lot of thought into it. I haven't put a lot of thought into games because usually each generation of games focuses really hardcore on one aspect. I definitely don't want to go back and play any Atari games. I mean, I'll visit them for half a second, but I'm like,
I want to play those.
In comparison, yeah. What's that?
I don't want to play those. Yeah. They're lame. They're terrible.
I don't want to play those.
Yeah.
They're terrible. In comparison to what we have today, but it was important. It was an important step. And then there'll be a game changer that'll kind of come along, and they're like, oh, we're going to focus this way for a while. And I think the Metal Gear Solid is a good example there. And I think also Final Fantasy also is a good point. And I didn't realize how ugly PlayStation 1 games were until I got my PlayStation Mini.
Yeah, it's bad.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I was remembering these all wrong.
Yeah, and I don't want to play
them. I was
making
them much better.
Like, that's why I didn't get a PlayStation Mini, because I don't want to play those. Also, that thing was kind of slammed for having all sorts of issues and problems, not including the games people wanted.
Not a great selection of games, not a great selection of performance, not a great selection of pretty much anything. That is kind of
not even that hackable. Like, you can't even hack it very well.
No, it's just, you can, but no one's interested. It's just hard to start getting support from the community.
There's more community support for hacking SNES minis and
And I haven't done it at all because I don't feel like I need to. I feel like all the games that I've got all the games I need to play on there. There's some games out there I wouldn't mind having some nostalgia for, but I don't really have
Free Rangers in the chat says Metal Gear Solid still holds up because of its batshit crazy story. I agree. The story is still pretty insane and great. I do like that. But the gameplay, the minute-to-minute stuff, doesn't do it for me anymore. I tried.
Yeah, it's kind of the dialogue is entertaining, if nothing else.
Do you care at all about this Final Fantasy VII remake in April? Is that a thing you're looking forward to?
Yes and no. Am I? It's kind of like how I felt about the Animal Crossing. I wasn't personally excited about it, but when I get online, I see all these people, you know, just crazy excited about something. It kind of gets me jacked up, and I'm like, well, maybe. And so whenever I see it, I'm kind of like, maybe. On a personal level, no. But everybody's so excited, I'm like, I want to experience what they're experiencing.
I am definitely in the maybe department as well. It's like, right. I didn't care for it in the day. I was never much for random JRPG battles. I hated that stuff. And I just could not get into it. I tried and I tried and I tried, and I just never liked that stuff. So what I've seen looks really neat. What they've been showing at E3 looks cool. It definitely has my interest from a game, from a remake standpoint. It seems like they're really going places. Whether it really grabs me or not, I don't know. So I'm on the fence on this one. So we'll see.
I never played it back in the day until I think we were actually doing the final score. And I went back as one of my old schools, and I did see the charm in it. And I was like, I can see the charm in this. It didn't strike a nostalgia chord, but I did see what the value was.
It sure looks like the shit now. It looks like the shit. Yeah.
Whereas, it looked like a poopy. Looks like somebody took a big old poop on the sidewalk.
But this one is less poopy. The remake, that is. So we'll see. April's a big month for fans of Final Fantasy. And I'm excited for everybody who's stoked about it. I'm just a little on the kind of pass me by in the first place. Yeah. I mean, I bought it. I had it. 97 I'm running, or 99, whatever it was. I'm rolling around with a copy of that thing. Took my PlayStation to this house we used to house sit for. My wife and I would go there and house sit for this family. And we park our butts in front of the TV and try to play it, and I just get bored. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. I hear a lot of people say that about Animal Planet, too. Is it not Animal Planet?
Animal Planet.
Yes. I hate Animal Planet. It's such a stupid channel. but no, Animal Crossing, I heard from people, too. It's like I was bored. And it's one of those games where it's like it's such a shift in game tempo from everything else you're playing that it is hard to get into it until you get into it. And once you do, it's hard to get out of it. And I kind of feel like the JRPG stuff is kind of like that. It's hard to get in because it's such a counter to everything you're probably playing.
Maybe.
And then, yeah. And then once you get into it, you're like, oh.
But I will fight anyone who comes up to me and says, Scott, I am bored in Animal Crossing. Let's go. Let's fight. We're going to fight.
A lot of people say they don't want to read. They don't want to read. And you know what? I used to be like that too. It's not that I don't like reading. I actually love reading. I'm like, well, what's the game mechanic? Let's get past it. I want to see the game mechanic. Yeah. And I get frustrated with too much discussion. But the interaction with other characters is the game mechanic.
Yeah.
In Animal Crossing. The building relationships is part of it.
It's great.
The only way to really do that.
Yeah, you want to do that part of it, you got to work at it. Plus, the new one, I don't know if you've seen too much graphically from the new one, but the leaves are always moving and the grass is always blowing in the new one.
Yes. Ooh. It looks so good. There was a game I played recently that wasn't really a game at all. And it was on Steam, I believe. And I got a game code for it and I checked it out. And I'm trying to remember the name of it. Essentially, all the game is, and it's questionable it's even a game, is writing letters to other people in these kind of lo-fi chill kind of videos. Yeah. Okay, so you ever been to YouTube and look at lo-fi?
I can't believe I said yes, I've been to YouTube. Sorry, I answered yes too soon.
Not just have you been to YouTube, but have you been to YouTube and then watched lo-fi kind of chill music or study music?
Sure, a little bit. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and you know they have like these nice little animation scenes that are limited in their movement, but it's always,
you know, it's like a guy at a table,
writing,
and then his head will occasionally cock up and look out the window, and out the window a tree branch is kind of blowing or whatever. It's a little like our little splash screen we got here. It's like this kind
exactly. Yeah. And so it's kind of like it's classified as a game, but what it really is a support system for people. So you can post your problems in a letter format and you write it as the character and then you like put it into the cloud of the game and then people can come along and give positive feedback and you earn stickers and different things you can put into future letters for getting positive feedback from your positive feedback.
Yep.
And so it's odd. It's like these are real world problems we're discussing and people giving real world advice.
Yeah.
And it feels kind of like how Animal Crossing feels.
Plus your grandma sends you stuff in the mail like, hey, your favorite cookie. Check it out. Eat your cookies there.
My mom sent me something in Animal Crossing today. She sent me a little present.
Oh, it was nice. It's adorable. Thanks, Mom.
And I'm trying to remember the name of the game, and I'll have to get back to you on it because I don't have my Steam pulled up.
Yeah,
right now.
Find that. I want to know what that is. You hate Steam. That's right.
I was going to talk about it on the show, but I was like, what can I really say about it? It'd be a really short review because the game is very one-dimensional.
Well, I have proof that you hate Steam. Here it is.
I love Steam.
Oh, wrong one.
I don't like Steam.
There you go. You don't like Steam.
Contrarian. Yep. Contrarian.
Contrary to what you think. Hey, if you want to send us emails like Aaron did, you can head over to the site at frogpants.com/BOOP. There's a contact link right there. You just hit that and off you go. It's easier than email because you don't have to open up your client. You don't have to deal with that. And it's also anonymous. So you can say whoever you want to be, you can be. Tell us what you want to say or what you're thinking about on the show. That'd be great. If you'd rather do an email,
tell
you can do that too.
Tell us.
Boopshow@gmail.com is the other way. So you can do that. That's fine. We don't mind. We're on Twitter at Boopshow. You can find us there. You can find Brian at TheBrianDunaway. You can find me at Scott Johnson. And you can find the show at Boopshow. I think it's going to do it. Brian, do you have any final words of wisdom for the crowd that's listening right now?
I'm so hoping I could find the name of that game, but it looks like I'm going to have to wait one more week before you find out.
That's terrible advice.
What you going to do? Oh, so yeah, Brian does a Throwback Thursday with Zelda, the Link to the Past. So tune into that on Twitch, twitch.tv, Brian Dunaway. Do it. We have a lot of fun.
Do it now. It's going to do it for us.
First time playthrough.
Oh, good. Me too. No, that's not true. I played that game before. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam. I love Steam.